so happy you're here listening right now. This is Eternity Church's weekly podcast. You will find our messages encouraging, inspirational, and relative to your life, no matter what stage of the journey you find yourself in. Here's Pastor Jesse.
Wherever you're at right now, there is more. He's not done. Can I get an amen? Hallelujah. I'm going to read today's scriptures before you take your seats. First, if you're new, by the way, my name is Jesse. Welcome to church. I'm glad that you're here. After the service, we've got a gift for you. Just run out there and a bunch of people will bless you with a welcome bag. Man, I'm so glad that you're here today. I hope you come back for our Christmas services tonight. The Christmas Spectacular, 5 p.m. and 7 p.m. Rumor has it that the 5 p.m. Is, I think, either sold out or almost sold out for reserve seating, but there will be seats still available on those in the risers up the back there. If you just turn up without a ticket, that's fine. But I know for a fact that there's a bunch of seats at the 7 p.m., so make sure you get online. You can get on online right now, right? MyEternity.com and reserve, what's it called? Priority seating. Come on. But maybe don't do that while I'm preaching. Right, maybe do that after church, okay? But it's going to be a good day in church. Ready for the word?
Yeah.
From Luke chapter 1, verse 31. You will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. I believe that there's people in this place who are going to conceive something in their spirit today. Come on. So you're hearing the word of God today. Something's being conceived in your spirit. Come on, something new, something exciting. Shall call his name Jesus. He will be great. He'll be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord will give him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign forever. Verse 36. And behold, Elizabeth, your relative, in her old age, someone say in her old age, has already conceived a son. And this is the sixth month. The one who was called barren is in her sixth month. See, some of you have come to church today and you feel spiritually barren. You feel like spiritually dead. Or maybe just in life, you just feel dead. Dead man walking, dead woman walking around, nothing going on, don't feel anything, can't see anything, don't hope for anything. You who are barren are going to conceive something in the house of God this weekend. Amen. Christmas is a season of miracles. I believe that dead people are going to come alive today. Hallelujah. I'm not talking the walking dead. I'm talking spiritually dead people. Hallelujah. Come on. That people who have been walking around feeling like there is no hope. You're going to walk out of this place today. Now, this service, next service, tonight's Christmas Spectacular. You're going to feel alive. Like something has been conceived in you, amen. For nothing is impossible with God. How many things are impossible with God? How many things are impossible with God? Nothing is impossible for God. Yes, God can make a rock so heavy he can't lift it. That's a dumb joke people ask, don't they? If nothing's impossible, well, can you do this? Like, nothing is impossible for God. She who was called barren is now in her sixth month. And Mary said, and I love the woman's faith, behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be according to your word. Come on, close your eyes and reach out your hands if you want me to pray for you right now and receive something from the Lord. God, get our hearts ready for what you're going to do today at Central Campus, online, at West Campus. Lord God, get our hearts ready. Holy Spirit, I'm believing for faith to rise up in people's hearts, for people to trust you again today. I'm believing for testimonies of miracles, testimonies of things being conceived in barren hearts today. I'm believing for testimonies. I'm preaching, God, for a change in people's lives, not for accolades, not for earthly glory, but God, I want to partner with you to see transformation in people's lives, not some people's lives, not just desperate people's lives, not just broken people's lives, but in every person's life who hears your word today. Heavenly Father, we want to walk out of this place having had an encounter with you, having experienced you. I pray that because we're at this service, our lives and our eternity would be better in the name of Jesus Christ. And everyone who wants to receive from the Lord today, would you yell out amen? Amen. Hallelujah. High five your neighbor. Tell them to get ready, get ready, get ready as you take your seats. So good to be here with you today. You know, every time I walk up on this stage, I just feel humbled and reminded. I made a video for a pastor, my youth pastor. He's now been in ministry for 25 years. I made a video for him last week. And thinking about that reminded me of when I was a young punk in youth ministry. When I was a young punk, I remember preaching my first sermon at youth group. And if you did that, if you ever listened to that, you'd be like, was he a Christian? You know, like what was that? But I thank God for people who believe in people that no one else believes in. Amen. See, I'm not up here because I'm awesome. I'm up here because I knew I wasn't and I needed an awesome God to come and do something awesome in my life. Amen. And so I'm excited to be here. I love you and I'm glad that you're here today. Let me recap real quick about last week's message, okay? The angel Gabriel came to Mary and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored." Now that sounds like good news. That doesn't sound confronting. That doesn't sound mean, nasty, or even scary. "Greetings, you who are highly favored." But immediately scripture tells us that Mary was troubled, not by the circumstances of the encounter, not by the overwhelming presence of a burly angel of the Lord in front of her, but that she was troubled by his words. And as I was reading that a couple of weeks ago, I got to thinking, what was so troubling about an angel coming to you and saying, "Greetings, hello, you are highly favored, yo, God's with you and loves you." Like, what is so troubling about that? And I realized that that was the first conversation that anybody had ever come up to somebody and essentially said, "Hey, Christmas is coming, get ready." And Mary freaked out and was like, "I don't even have a pig, because the baby that's coming to my womb hasn't declared all meat's clean yet. I don't know what to do." And so she was greatly troubled at his words. His words were good, his words were kind. He had amazing good news, but Mary was troubled at his words because right from the very beginning, the devil has been making it hard for you and for me to receive the good news of God, in particular, the good news about our Savior. Amen. And I believe that God wants to break that off your life so that you can receive good news, so that you can receive what God's doing in your life. Not only is he making it confusing or troubling when good news comes, but he seems to be blocking good news. And I'm praying that as you download and listen to last week's podcast, that the Holy Spirit would break those blockages off your life and good news would finally be able to penetrate your heart. Amen. And so just get that. I know it'll be good for you. I know it'll reshape some of your thinking and your speaking in your life. But this week, I want to hone in on one word in that scripture where it says, "He shall reign." But I want to focus on one really important word. And the word is, are you ready for it? I don't even believe you are. Yeah. Are you ready for the one word?
Yeah.
That one word is forever. Touch your neighbor and say, forever.
Forever.
And touch your other neighbor and say, forever.
Because
that's how y'all sound. Forever, son. Come on, forever. Say it like you're English, the people that invented the language. Forever.
Forever.
I want to hone in on that one word, forever. And forever doesn't mean a lot for people anymore. I believe that the word forever has lost a lot of its context in the world that we live in today, because at some point somebody said forever to you and forever didn't last very long.
Right.
What about when you go and buy clothes at Forever 21? But then you've got a gray beard and your wife makes you dye it so you don't look old, right? But I'm wearing Forever 21. Why doesn't that work? Not me, because it's girls' clothes, but why would a girl have a beard? I don't even know. Anyway, this is confusing me. It must be confusing you. But buying Forever 21 isn't going to make you Forever 21, is it?
Yeah.
Right? Some of you stood at an altar and somebody said, "I'll love you forever." But forever only really meant 3 years before they walked out the door. Someone said, I'll be faithful to you so long as we both shall live. I'll be faithful to you forever. But forever, faithful to them only meant 10 years. And so forever was shortened and faithful was redesigned and lost its power. Now, I'm not judging people who have done that. There are people who have done that in this room. People who have made promises and commitments to others. And when you said it, you meant it. You meant it, right? Like, there are people in this room who have broken vows, and I'm not here to judge you. Like, I've done things wrong in my life, right? We all have. I'm not gonna judge someone who sins differently than me. Come on. Like, we've all made different mistakes in our lives. And I want to tell you right now that the people in this room who said forever and then walked out of their marriage, or who said forever and then slept with someone else, listen to me. I know that when they stood at that altar and they said forever, they meant forever. They meant it. They weren't thinking, I'm going to say this, but I don't really mean this. I was at a wedding one time where they didn't mean it, so they didn't say it. They said exactly these words, I'll love you forever unless at some point I change my mind. I about blew a gasket and walked out the door. My wife is like, sit down. This is a family member. I'm like, I'm going to beat the snot out of this online celebrant who's destroying marriage up in here. Come on. Yeah. My wife's like, no, you're going to sit down before we never get invited back to another wedding ever again. So I believe that when people say forever, they meant it. But somehow along the way, forever got real difficult, hey? Faithfulness got hard when stepping out of your marriage was sold to you as the answer to the drama and the relationship breakdown in your home. Some people purchased something from the devil that redefined forever faithful to mean as long as I can withstand this relentless pressure. And so your own understanding of how difficult forever really is has made you miss the power in the verse, "He shall reign forever." See, it's difficult, right? Like, our own understanding of forever has made it difficult for us to understand the power in the verse, "He shall reign forever." Now, listen to me real carefully. You people in this room who have been divorced, you're all right, and I'm all right with you, okay? Like, this is not a moment where you're, like, sitting here going, oh, my gosh, he's talking to you. No. I'm just talking about this word forever, all right? If things have been messed up in your life, thank God for healing. Yes, you do deserve another shot. Why? Because you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. What you did, what you said, who you walked away from, or whoever walked away from you has not redefined your righteousness. Hallelujah. And those who are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus deserve another shot. Can someone say amen? I know what it's like to be on the receiving end of having forever redefined. I know what it's like to have a parent walk out when you're a child and not have a clue why or where they went. But church, listen to me carefully. We need to be careful not to allow our negative experiences with fallen people change our understanding of our perfect Father. Can I get an amen? Amen. See, we need to be just as careful not to let our own fallibility make us miss the power and the purpose in the verse. He shall reign, and he shall reign forever. Yeah. See, when God said, he shall reign forever, it means he shall reign without end, without change, eternally, never ending, never ever ending, always reigning in the beginning, yesterday, today, tomorrow, and forever. See, when you understand that he reigns forever, you're going to get more traction in your life. Listen, when you understand that he reigns forever, including today, you are going to get more traction in your life. Let me explain. If he reigns forever and you know that he reigns today, you will begin to take steps of faith. And those steps of faith will begin to get traction in your life. Because we know he reigns, We know he's in charge. We know he hasn't walked out on us. He isn't cheating on us. He isn't beating on us. He isn't lying to us. We know that he's a loving God, a good God, a still ruling and reigning over our lives God, amen. He is still here. He shall be called Emmanuel. God is with us and God is still with us, amen. And so when you know that he will meet you in your steps of faith and you know that he's called you, then you know that you can do what he's called you to do. That you can climb what he's called you to climb. That you can build what he's called you to build. Because he's still here. And every word that comes from the mouth of God will come true. And nothing is impossible for God. Someone say amen if you're a seeker. So what does he shall reign forever really mean? What does he shall reign forever really mean? See, I believe that those of us who have had a revelation of the security that comes when we understand that he reigns, that we will respond in faith. See, if I believe that he reigns, I will do something. Come on, think about that for a second. If I believe that he reigns, still, I'm gonna do something. See, but some of us got stuck in he reigned. Some of us got stuck in he has reigned. Yes, some of us got stuck in he was God, but he still reigns. He is I am, not I was, not I used to be, not I'm gonna be, but I am. And he has reigned, yes, but he does reign. And he shall reign forever, amen. He reigned when he told the Newmans to move from Australia to plant a church in Iowa. I didn't move from Australia to plant a church in Iowa because Gary said. Because Gary don't reign. Oh, he reigns at Friedrichs. But that's where it ends. I didn't move from Australia because Christian Walk was like Jesse. You need to move from Australia, I said so. Now, he did tell you that. He did tell me to move. But I didn't move because he said so. I moved because he shall reign. Because every time that God had called me to take a step of faith in my life, before that moment, I knew that he reigned and he met me there, and I knew that he still reigned. So when God said, move, then we moved, amen. Not because CW reigns, not because Garrick reigns, but because he shall reign. He reigned when he told us to rent this building. He reigned when he told us to buy this building. He reigned when he told us to launch West Campus. He reigned when we were given West Campus buildings and land for free. He reigned when we invested in and renovated West Campus. He reigned when he told us to buy the office building down the road. He reigned when we moved our staff down the road into the new office building. And church, guess what? He still reigns. He still reigns. He reigned when he told me to hire a youth pastor. He reigned when he told me to hire a kids pastor. He reigned when he told us to hire care and campus pastors. He reigned when we hired more student ministry pastors. He reigned when we launched Fearless. He reigned when we went from one service to two. He reigned when we went from two services to three. He reigned when we went from three services to four and church. He still reigns. He reigned when we saw one soul saved every week. He reigned when we saw 10 souls saved every week. He reigned when we saw 20 souls saved every week in church. He still reigns. Sit down, I'm done. He reigned when we saw 50 people at church. He reigned when we saw 100 people at church. He reigned when we saw 200 people at church, 300 people at church, 400 people at church, 500 people at church, 800 people at church. He reigned at 1,000 people at church, and our God still reigns, amen. No, I'm not really done. He reigned when we saw a kid healed of deathly peanut allergies at this altar. He reigned when we saw a woman healed of cancer at this altar. He reigned when we saw a man's broken leg healed at this altar, and he still reigns, amen. Somebody needs to get up and have a praise party in this place. He still reigns. He still reigns. He is the God who brings to completion every good thing he started in you. He still reigns. Everything he promised you will come true, because nothing is impossible for God, and no word that comes out of the mouth of God will fall to the ground void. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Some of you are going to take your lives to another level because he still reigns. The same God who told me to move to America when I was completely flipping unqualified. And every single year as the church grows, I become more and more unqualified. Is the same God who reigns in here today. The same God who reigns in your life. The same God who reigns this Christmas, like he did at the last Christmas and the first Christmas. Say amen. And we know that when God reigns, we will step out in faith. When we know that God reigns, we will step out in faith. Because if God reigns, then I should still be taking steps of faith. My life should still be getting traction. Let me tell you right now, if you haven't taken a step of faith lately, then this, my friend, is your heaven-sent reminder that he still reigns. He didn't come for 2,000 Christmases and then be like, that's enough. We've done 2,000 of these Christmases. And he shall reign, and he shall reign, and he shall reign for the first 2,000 Christmases. No, he still reigns, my friend. Yeah. It's time for some of you to get some traction again. It's time to take another step of faith. You were designed to keep growing, to keep moving, to keep running, and to keep stepping out in faith until the day that you meet God in glory, amen. He has something else for you. He has another move. You're not at checkmate, mate. You're not at checkmate. He's not finished yet. Some of you might be like, yeah, you know what, but my life is better than it was. Awesome. Oh, I earn so much more than I used to earn, and I don't want to be greedy. Man, that is classic good news gone bad right there. Like, earning more money is bad. No, falling in love with money is bad. Yeah? Money, my friends, is not the root of all evil. Talk about the devil misrepresenting scripture right there. Come on. People are always like, well, if I have more money, I'm just like going to hone in on this for a second. I don't know why. I didn't last night. I am right now. Welcome. Money is not the root of all evil. The love of money is the root of all evil, my friend. What does that mean? Money is more important to you than the person sitting next to you. There's a lot of evil coming your way if that's the truth. Come on. Come on. The love of money. Well, it's easier for a camel to get through the eye of a needle than it is for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. Yeah. But you know what? That's exactly what he said. But then the next verse says, in relation to that, says the very next verse, yes, it's easier for a rich man. Sorry, it's easier for a camel to get through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. But with God, nothing is impossible. That's the exact quote. Come on, if we're going to quote scripture, let's use the whole thing, right? Come on. But with God, nothing is impossible, right? So you can actually say what he's saying is, for rich people and poor people, for everyone, it's actually easier to get through a freaking needle than it is to get into heaven. But with God, nothing is impossible. That's why Jesus came. Because without God, everything, that couldn't happen. With God, nothing is impossible. Come on. Oh, it's all right to be more blessed than you are right now. All right? Come on. Don't stop. If you earn more, give more. Hallelujah. Come on. Having a healthy family is good, right? Having a healthier family than you used to have, that's good, isn't it? You know what's better than having a healthier family than you used to have? Having a healthier family than you do now. That's even better. Amen. Having a better job than you used to have is great. Having a better job or more resource in your job or a better position in your job than you do now is even better. Yes. Having a better understanding of the Word of God than you used to have is good, right? But having a better understanding than you do now is even better. Yes. Being closer to God than you used to be is great. Yes. Being closer to the God than you are now is even better. Yes. Don't just be better than you used to be. Become all that you were designed to be. Yes. Amen. Never stop taking steps of faith. It's okay to keep going. It's okay to keep increasing. It's okay to increase and give glory to God. But so often people just get stuck. People just stop. People stop taking any steps of faith in their lives. They're like, well, things are better than they used to be. And they stop asking for blessing. And they stop asking for healing. And they stop asking for opportunity. And they stop asking for growth in their spiritual walk. And they stop asking God, hey God, what's next? You know the kind of faith I have? I have the kind of faith that goes, what's next, Lord? Like the second that God is done doing something great in my life or in our church, I'm like, God, thank you. That's flipping awesome. Thank you for doing that in my life. Thank you for using me to do that. God, thank you for doing that. I love it, but God, now what? Yeah. Now what? Yeah. You ask anyone on our staff, anyone on our key leadership team, you ask anyone that hangs out with me. I'm never like, that was awesome. I can't wait for two more years where God gives us something else to do. No way. Like, it's about to get buttoned up, and I'm like, y'all want to know what's next? Because I asked him what's next, and I know what's next. Come on. Hey, I'm never going to stop. The second God gets done, or even close to done, I'm saying, God, that's awesome. What's next? My kids are a bit like that. My kids can be pretty annoying, actually. None in here? Good. Dad, can we have a Megazord? I thought it was a Mega Sword, but it's a Megazord. Found that out on Amazon. I'm like, oh, it's not a sword. Okay. Dad, can we have a Megazord? Dad, can we have candy? Dad, can we have Chick-fil-A? No, because it's Sunday and they hate Christians. All right, they love Christians, but whatever. You know how they... You know a better way to show us that they love us? Yeah. Be open on Sunday and make it free. That's how to prove you love Christians. Get a little stamp on your way out the door at church, and then they see that stamp like, you went to church? Yes, sir, I did. Here's a free Chick-fil-A deluxe. Come on. My neighbor owns a Chick-fil-A. I should be careful. Dad, can we have chips? Dad, can we have fries? Dad, can we have Pokemon cards? 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 Dad, can we have candy? Can we have Pokemon cards? Can we have Pokemon cards? Can we have Pokemon cards? Candy. Can we have Pokemon cards? Pokemon cards? Pokemon cards? Candy. Pokemon cards? Pokemon cards? Pokemon cards? Megazord. Candy. Pokazord. Pokazord. Whatever. Shut up, kids! Leave me flipping alone. Feels like the worst. Anybody else? Come on, be honest with me. Y'all like, no, I love my kids all the time. Yeah. In words. But you know what would be worse than that? If my kids never asked me for anything. That'd be so much worse. If they never asked me for anything. If they forgot how much I love them. If they forgot about all the resources that I have at my disposal to bless them with. If they forgot that I'm here to protect them, telling you right now, I'd rather put up with their incessant asking than never hear them ask me for anything again. For them to grow out of it. For them to be at this Christmas, they're like, I'm like, what do you want for Christmas? They're like, I'm good. My 10-year-old soul has peaked. I got everything I need, Daddy. Thank you for last Christmas. No! You should see Charlie's Christmas list this year. Do you know what Charlie wants for Christmas? He wants a fridge.
Yeah.
A freezer. And a pantry. He wants his own little room of food. That's what Charlie wants for Christmas. He's a crazy kid. Honestly, I'd rather him ask me for a fridge and a freezer and a pantry full of food and let me decide what's good for him than quit asking. And your God would rather you ask for stuff that you don't need or shouldn't even have and let him decide if it's good for you or not. Come on. Some people say, how do I know if what I'm praying for God wants me to have? And I'm like, I don't know. I don't have a theological position on Lexuses. So ask and you'll find out soon enough. In fact, listen up. If you do ask for a Lexus and he gives you a Lexus, ask again and give it to me. Good plan, right? I got a feeling I'm about to get 20 Lexuses this week. For a while, sorry, Chevys, okay. It's really hard when you've got a guy in your church who owns a Chevy dealership. You can't ever mention any other church without the guilt coming upon you. Not from them, I think it's the Holy Spirit. I don't know. For amen. I want to point out that is not a theological position either, FYI. For a while, Charlie was having these night terrors, nightmares. He would run out of his home. Sorry, out of his room. He used to run out of his home. We started locking our doors. People were like, you lock your doors? You're afraid of people breaking in? No, I'm afraid of my kids breaking out. This is prison. Come on. Charlie would fly out of his room in the middle of a night, flying down the hallway so fast and so hard, just sound like we have an earthquake in our house or we're getting burgled by a horde or something. We didn't know what. He would fly down the hallway. Daddy, Daddy, Mommy, the bugs. And he's freaking out. The bugs are eating him. It was weird. And we had to keep praying for him and he got through it. Praise God. But see, he knows that his daddy and his mummy reign in that house.
Yeah, that's good.
He knows that we keep him safe. He knows that coming near us will make it better. So he runs to us. And he holds us so tight. And we hold him so tight back. And our hearts broke every single time he had one of those little night terrors. But I am so thankful that he didn't just sit on his bed and cry in terror. Forgetting that his daddy reigns. Come on. Forgetting that his daddy reigns in that house. That his daddy will protect him. That his mommy will protect him. Listen to my point, church. Some of you cry in terror and have forgotten that he still reigns. Some of you are freaking out in a corner somewhere and you've forgotten that he still reigns. Some of you are sitting in a corner full of lack. In a little corner called lack. And you've forgotten that your father owns the cattle on a thousand hills. Run. Come on, church, run. So fast to the father that it sounds like he's about to get burgled. Come on. Run to the father. God is waiting for you to ask again. Imagine how brokenhearted his heart must be knowing that you are curled up in a corner. Too afraid to come to the Father. Imagine how brokenhearted his heart is knowing you don't ask him for help anymore. You don't ask him for healing. You don't ask him for direction. You don't even ask him for candy anymore. You don't say, hey God, that was cool. What are we gonna do next? He's not done, church. He's not done. Will you stand up with me? He's not done. He's not done yet. Not even if you made a mistake or lots of mistakes, something is next. No matter what you've done, no matter where you've been, no matter what you've seen, He's not done. He's not done with you yet, my friend. He's not done with you yet. He's not done with you yet. They say things have to sound like vomit coming out of your mouth before everyone else gets it. So He's not done with you yet. 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 Amen. He's not done with you yet. He's not done with you yet. He's still on the throne, and it's time to ask Him for something. You're not being greedy. God designed you to move. God designed you to grow. God designed you to increase. He said to increase. He commanded us to increase. So step out in faith. Give glory to God for what He's about to do in your life. I believe there are people in this room who have stopped taking steps of faith and lost traction in their lives. If your life looks the same as it did 5 years ago, you don't have traction. If your life looks worse than it did 5 years ago, you don't have traction. Traction means you're moving forward, not sliding backwards. We're going to open up the altar. We're going to take up the offering in just a couple of minutes, but then straight after that, the altar will be open for prayer. And I know that people need to come down the front. I know people are gonna come down the front and ask God to heal something, to restore something, to provide for something. And hey, if you're in this room and you're like, I don't need anything. Number one, you need to take better stock of your life more honestly, because you need something. Number two, fine. If you don't need anything, ask for candy. Something you don't need, but you're gonna enjoy it. Amen. Come on. I don't know if He wants me to have a Mars bar. Well, ask Him and find out. Come on. Some people really need to come and ask God, that was awesome, God. What are we gonna do next? Now that we've come this far, God, what are you gonna show me next? What do you wanna teach me next? What do you wanna do for me next? What do you want me to do for you next? Where do I need to grow next? So as soon as we open up the front for prayer, I want you to run down the front or walk if your hip's a little sore and come get healing for that hip and run next week. Amen. Hallelujah. Boom. Come on. Come down the front for prayer. But there's a group of people in this room who don't have a friendship with God. Today is the day that that needs to change, all right? So what we're going to do is we're going to pray a prayer together, everyone in this room, and I'm going to ask you to repeat it with us. Because Scripture says if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, that you'll be saved. Okay? That's it. The church has made it a bit more complicated than that in the past. Not here. Believe in your heart, confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and you'll be saved. It doesn't say you need to change your life, you need to stop sinning, you need to stop singing those songs, stop listening to that music, stop dressing like that. No, come on, I am the most underdressed pastor in all of the Midwest. And God is just fine with me, all right? You don't have to change anything about who you are because I said so. Hey, but if there is something in your life that's offensive to God, destructive to you, or hurtful to others, I know that as you open up your life to Him, He'll speak to you about the things in your life that need to change, just like we've been talking about all day. The steps you need to take to become all that He designed you to be, to live in the blessing that He designed for your life. He will speak to you and He'll give you the strength and the power to win that battle, okay? So you don't need to worry about changing anything in your life right now. You just need to say, God, I need you in my life because I want to live the blessed life that you designed for me. And I promise you, life is better when you're in a relationship with God. So everyone in the room, pray this prayer with me, and especially those who are away from God and those who have never had a friendship with God. Pray this prayer with me right now. Everyone in the room together so that no one's praying it alone. Dear God, I believe Jesus is the Son of God. I believe He died on a cross for my sin, and He rose again to give me life, hope, joy, peace, and eternal life. I receive it all. I receive this new life. with you as my Lord and my Savior. Help me to live this new life the way you designed it. Extra special, extra blessed, and just for me. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. Amen. Give the Lord a shout of praise. Hallelujah. Two things I want you to do if you prayed that prayer for the first time or for the first time in a long time. Those two things are, number one, text the word SAVE to the number 25827 so that we can send you a gift in the mail, a free gift. We just want to bless you. It's going to be a Bible. It's going to be a worship CD of the type of worship that we sing here at Eternity Church. And it's going to be a gift card to a local coffee shop. Three things that will tremendously bless your life and bless your faith and your spirit. We know that the Word of God will bless your spirit. We know that seed that worship blesses you. And we know that caffeine fires your spirit up too. Am I right? Come on. So text that word SAVE to number 25827 to receive your free gift in the mail this week. Free to you, but cost us a bit of money because we are absolutely invested in seeing you live a blessed life. Amen. So text that number right now or after the service. The second thing is, I'm going to count to three and then I'm going to pray for everybody. So when I get to three, I want you to lift up your hand. So when you lift up your hand, you're saying, I prayed that prayer for the first time or for the first time in a long time, and I want Pastor Jesse to pray for me. Okay? So if everybody could close their eyes and bow their heads, let's give people privacy. I'm not going to point you out. I'm not going to tell anyone who you are. I just want to pray for you that from this day on, you live in the blessed life that God designed for you because He loves you so much. So while no one's looking around, on the count of three, lift up your hand. One, two, three. Lift up your hands all over this place. One, two, three, four, five. Anybody else? Five hands. Praise God. You can put your hands down. I know we're going to take up our offering and continue to praise and worship in a second, but I really want to take a minute to pray for those five people. So if everybody could just reach out your hands in faith and pray for them. Heavenly Father, we thank you for five more people giving you their lives. Five more people stepping out of a life without you, stepping out of destruction, pain, hurt, brokenness, and stepping into life and life abundantly, stepping into the blessed life that you designed for them. God, right now, where they stand, I pray in the name of Jesus that brokenness, that shame, that pain, that regret, that God, that wandering feeling would be broken off their lives in the name of Jesus. And in its place, everlasting joy, hope in a great and blessed future, peace in every situation that they ever find themselves in again. Holy Spirit, come into their lives and bless them. Seal salvation on their hearts. And as they walk out this door, I pray there'd be a new fire. There'd be a new spring in their step and in their lives. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. Amen. Praise God. Well, church, in a second, we're going to take up the offering. And the second that offering bucket goes past you, if you need prayer, step out of your seat, run to the Father, and get healing in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for joining us. If you enjoyed this, share it with your friends or neighbors. This coming weekend or next, we'd love to see you at church. You'll find locations and service times at myeternity.com/locations. We're also on Facebook and Instagram at My Eternity Church. Have an awesome day. Love you heaps.